Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight.
Well, hello, everybody. It's 6 o'clock on the West Coast, watching the sun go down over the mountain. Thanks to all of those who joined us. And, I got a request that if I could get a hold of Rusty's interview and play it again. So while I'm waiting for a couple of things to happen, I'm going to play the interview right now. And, this is the interview conducted by Eric Salas and Rusty Coons.
Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like you to take people back to where Attica 7 started. You know, realizing for the first time that you may never see daylight again. Yeah. And what your emotions were like when you were putting these songs down on paper and how you got that inspiration.
Okay. Yeah, visualize yourself in a cell, 6x8, 8x12, whatever it is. You've just been ripped out of society with a possibility of never having a chance. You ever see your family again outside of a cell somewhere or a visiting area in a prison while you're either shackled behind glass or under guard? And you're not expecting any of this to happen. It just happens. And all of a sudden, everything you've held dear, everything that you love is out of your reach. You know, it changes the way you think about things. It changes the way you think about what you do. Instead of just going out randomly and doing what you feel like doing, it makes you think before you do those things with those large consequences. And when you're in a motorcycle club, you're going to pay twice the consequence, maybe three times, maybe four times of what the average person is going to pay for any action that you may take, or even a reaction to being attacked yourself. You become not the victim, but the perpetrator defending yourself because you're in a motorcycle club. So you have to think about all these things every day. It's like walking on the edge of a razor blade. And when you're doing your time, it's like walking on the edge of a razor blade the whole time you're in, because you don't want to lose your good time, but you can't be weak. So you have to do whatever you got to do to survive honorably while you're on the inside. Then when I got sentenced after being in over 21 months in MDCLA, they shipped me around a little bit, put me in the hole in a few other places waiting for my paperwork to come through, and then I got sent up to Oregon to a prison up there, and while I was up there, I was working out in the yard at least 5 days a week, and I rediscovered music totally by accident. I wasn't even into music. I knew how to play guitar. I'd played since I was 9. Took lessons from the time I was 9 till the time I was 15. Learned how to read, write music, finger picking, classical, the whole deal. But then I got out of it, got into motorcycles, and just picked up the guitar every once in a while, sometimes not for years. But it was in my head. The structure of music, the feeling, it was all there. So I don't know what happened, but after being up there for a few years, I was walking past this room where they did a lot of band rehearsals and the band program for inmates, and I just got inspired to start playing. And I joined a blues band, actually a blues rock band, and I said, you know, I'll come in, I'll play bass, guitar, I don't care. So they said, all right, come in and play bass. Well, I came in, the bass player hadn't gone home yet that I was replacing, so I played guitar, and they said, no, we want to keep you on the guitar. So I said, all right, you mind if I write some songs? They said, yes. So I wrote one song the next week, another song the next week, and I was writing new music every week. Then they had a riot up there, and they sent me to Texas. And when I got to Texas, I took a whole portfolio of my music with me, and 3 days after I got out of the hole up there, I was playing a concert in front of all the inmates. It was like 1,800 people in that yard. We were playing all my music, but that's because that was a blues, like a heavy blues. That's what I started writing was blues originally, kind of a blues rock, really, really heavily distorted. And then I gravitated towards downtuned music while I was there. I did a lot of covers and my own music for quite a while, later at all the holidays. Then I think I wrote 32 songs over there. I've got all of them still, everything in the same paper I wrote it on. And I got so into it that I just decided when I get out, that's going to be my goal. I'm going to build a big band around good musicians, solid musicians, not a bar band, not a cover band, and it's just evolving into what I wanted it to be.
What would you say is your favorite Attica 7 song?
That's hard to say, but Devil's Daughter, Serial Killer, All or Nothing, Lockdown. I can keep going, man. It ended up being the whole damn album.
I got to agree with you with that. I mean, there's not a bad song on the CD. But can you take us back to where you were physically and mentally when you wrote one of these songs and what was going through your mind there?
When I wrote Lockdown, I was in a cell. And if you listen to the lyrics in Lockdown, it's an inmate, and it's definitely a serious prison song. Another one, No Redemption, wearing a number on your chest, having eyes in the back of your head, because that was the thing. You always had a number on, and you had to have eyes in the back of your head all the time.
Do you feel that had you not went to prison, that you would be where you're at today musically?
If I didn't go to prison, Attica 7 wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be playing music. It completely changed my life when I went in there. I redirected my thinking, and I'm glad. I love the music. I love what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing with my business, building these bikes. I love the music even more. And the TV, the different things that I'm into now, I mean, I'm enjoying it every day. That's one thing I can say is... out of that experience, when I finally did that, I appreciate every day. Even a bad day is a great day.
One of the things that I noticed that when I went out to cover the Uproar tour is after I saw your band, there was an it factor, a magic, a something that that people can relate to and forget about problems and stuff like that with your music. And I fully believe that people are going to jump into your genre from others and come together with your music. What do you feel is the reason for that?
I think one of the reasons that that our music is so universal, it's not just one little niche like metal or just rock or something else. It draws people from all different genres because there is a little blues influence in there. There's the rock influence, there's the metal influence, and every riff that's in there was written with feeling. I mean, when I write riffs for music, I don't just write riffs to write riffs. I write riffs that I feel, hooks that I feel, and it's got to really, like, make the hair stand up on the back of your neck kind of a thing. You know, it's like I know when I got those sweet spots in the groove, and that's what I incorporate into my choruses, into my verses, the breakdowns. I try to get the whole thing woven together so it's a feeling that you have. It's not just music. It's you feel the music, and that's important. You've got to feel those hooks. That's what the hooks are, you know? And the same with the lyrics. When I write lyrics, 90% of the time, I write the lyrics after I've done all the riffs. And the choruses, everything, they fall together. But I start out with the first line. First line is always the hardest line when I write because it sets the pace for everything to follow. And then it just starts flowing like water. And it's very...
Hello there. Hey, we're going to... I'm playing... I got a request to play Rusty's interview again.
Okay, cool. Go on.
Okay.
It's a little bit of poetry, but it always tells a story almost every time. I don't want to just write ridiculous sentences, you know, just to fill the void with vocals. You know, I want it to tell a story. If you wrote it as poetry or just as a story, it has a beginning and an end usually.
My photography and my video is I try to look at things as a voyeur in letting people see the world through my camera. I see that same thing in your music. I mean, people are able to come into where you were and experience that, or you know, relate things to their lives. What's your trick to letting people see that?
Well, like in the song Serial Killer, I'm not a killer. I've never killed anybody. But just as when you're an actor, you know, you act, you kill people in the movie, that doesn't make you a killer. But you have to be into that part. You have to become that person. And when I wrote that song, I really had to get deep into the character of this serial killer that was telling the story in his lyrics. And if you listen to the lyrics in that song, that's what it is. This is a guy that he's a killer. He doesn't necessarily want to be a killer. He can't help it. The demons take over, and he does what he does. It's not like he's looking for this to happen. It happens, and he tells it as the story comes out. When you're listening to the song, it's very evident that he's almost a victim of himself.
Wow. See, and I think that's the magic that all your songs have is you let people see it from the real thing. I mean, the real deal. The you know, what's in the mind of a serial killer. I mean, who knows that? And
yeah, I tell you, I've been in some places, I've been around some people that were that kind of people, and it emanates out of some of them. It just emanates so bad. I mean, you can feel it before they even say anything. And then there's others that they're like multiple personality type of people. They would be the nicest people in the world, but the other side of them is the homicidal side that flips, and it's like they're the most dangerous ones because they're a chameleon, and you can never trust people like that. But I've been in situations with a lot of people that are that type of people, both those kind of killers, and to try to put your mind in that place is it takes a minute to get there. And if you want to write something that's believable with that feeling, you have to get your mind there. You have to be that person to do it.
That's a scary thing to attempt to get into a place like that and get out.
Yeah, I tell you, I remember specifically when I did that, and I remember the feeling I had, and it wasn't a good feeling, let me tell you. I wouldn't be proud to think like that on a daily basis, let me tell you.
Well, there's not too many writers that are going to be able to come up with the music that you have. And again, I think that's probably the biggest part of listening to your CD that's out right now, that it's just every song on there. I mean, I instantly bought the CD, and there's not a song on there I don't like.
We've got a really, really good team of players right now. Without even having a bunch of rehearsals under our belt, we can go out and play shows, and we did. And a lot of the time you take players, you're going to have to play at least 7, 8, 9 rehearsals together before they're actually tight enough to go out in public. We didn't even need to do that in this case.
Yeah, I saw you guys on your second show, and I was hooked right then and there. Like I said, I think I even really got in trouble because I didn't photograph any other bands but you guys. But it pretty much paid off. And I think the other thing I liked about Attica 7 is that it was so cool to see you guys after you perform. You're at the merch booth, and you're there till the time you guys leave. I mean, you were there with a solid line of fans taking pictures and signing autographs. And I mean, you, to me, that's a true rock star. I mean, you were passionate. It's like you guys, if you could afford it, would go out there and play for free, you know, just to play that music. I mean, that's kind of what I got from that.
Yeah, if it was just about the money, we would have quit doing this a long time ago. I would have quit way before I hooked up with the lineup that we have now. has nothing to do with it. And the fans, they're the most important, and we really appreciate it when we see these fans that come from 100 miles away or more to see the show, you know, stay at motels, and I mean, that's really true fans, and we're going to do everything we can to make that experience as good as we can for them. And when the show's over with, we're going to spend time with them. We're going to sign autographs, give them merch, you know, sell them merch, give them merch, everything. You know, we're going to make the experience as best we can for them.
It was funny watching you guys, you know, have fun with this, where you were throwing out the shot glasses and people were catching them as they're going by, and
yeah.
And you know, the parts that a lot of the fans don't get an opportunity to see, like well, you know, the rock star life where you're living in truck stops and things like that. But and you even had on your tour manager Al. Wasn't there a couple of episodes with him where some funny things happen there with truck stuff?
There's episodes of Al all the time. I have fun with him daily. He's great entertainment. The guy left him at least one truck stop. I actually sent him out to check the rear tire one time, and while he was out there, I locked the door, drove off, and left him at the truck stop.
Hey, Al, come up here, will you? What's up, Rusty?
I think that rear tire's low, man. Would you check that back, the tag axle?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man, thanks.
Hey, shut that door when you get out, will you?
We're going to leave his ass again, man. I'm going to lock this door.
Another time at another truck stop, he was outside doing whatever, fueling or something, and I took off, and he actually ran, jumped up on the mirror and the bumper and held onto the thing, so I couldn't get rid of him. That's why I had to stop and let him in. And I think at another venue, we were backing out, and I had him help back the bus out, and he was guiding me as soon as I got out and took off. And I heard these, I had the door open still while I was driving. It sounded like Fred Flintstone trying to catch the bus with those heavy feet. I said, this guy can run, man. I had no clue he could run like that. I finally let him in that time, too. He deserved it. You know, he had to run quite a ways, you know. So.
You know, musically or through life in itself, if you could go back in time and change something, what would you change?
You know, it's funny because you say that, like, you know, I've thought about this many times. I would love to change the mistakes I made that sent me to prison. But then I think if I changed what sent me to prison last time, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be going in a whole other direction. So I took a very bad experience that happened to me in 1999, and I turned it into a good thing. I took everything I had to work with, flipped it. And because of that, I'm so happy with everything I'm doing, I don't want to change that. And I would have to take that back, because there's really not much that I regret since I've been released. It's all been a pretty good trip.
Your bike building, I mean, this shop is, I mean, you're sitting in front of an $80,000 bike right there, and your bikes are amazing. Where's that going to go with Attica 7, you know, taking off?
You know, I look at what I have going on here like a triangle. It's like the devil's triangle. I've got Illusion, I've got the music, and I've got the TV. And it's all interlinked, and they all work for each other. So what one does pulls the other up, and they're all connected all the time. And I love it. It's a great cross-promotional type of a thing. Personal branding, bands, brand, bikes, brand, everything's doing well. So the better the music does, I think the better the bike business will do.
And the TV, Sons of Anarchy, that's a huge, huge show. I mean, how did that happen?
You know, it's just that was luck. You know, Kurt Sutter's a great guy. I really like him. He started that show 5 years ago, and he's a smart guy. He went out and did his homework. He came by here. He's visited as many Hells Angels. He wanted to go to the top of the food chain and learn about clubs, and he did. And it's a drama. You know, it's not real, but it can't be real. If you're going to be entertaining, you have to be dramatic. You have to have a lot of that stuff going on. That's what people need to not lose focus of. You know, it's a fantasy, but it's great. You know, but he did a lot of work in reality so that he could have the most realistic of fantasies. And look at it, it's a cult following, and the thing's crazy. It's over 5 million people regularly watching this. I'm honored to be part of it.
I've had the incredible fortune to travel with you guys on the road for what seems to be months, but it's only been a couple weeks.
Yeah, with you wear on us a lot. It seems like yours to me, you know what I mean?
I don't make too many mistakes, but the ones I do make are pretty big, so.
Oh, like leaving me at a truck stop? Yeah, that was a good one. At 4 in the morning, I think it was?
Yeah, it was pretty cold,
oh,
too.
Man.
I felt pretty bad.
I'm glad I had my phone with me. That's all I can say. Or you guys would have been all the way to L.A. before you figured it
out. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're going to put footage of that up there, so. But one of the things that I noticed is that everything that you do, whether you're driving a bus or orchestrating the band and your organizational skills and your leadership skills and when we go places, like last night, the Rainbow, after you played at the Key Club, I mean, they closed the place down, but you and your few select friends were allowed to stay. Something about you is just you know, people love. You know, what do you think that is?
I just try to treat everybody the way that I want to be treated. And I look at people, you know, and I give them the equal respect that they deserve. And there's so many people out there that feel entitled to take. You know what I mean? I hate that. Nobody's entitled like that. You should treat everybody the way you want to be treated, because when somebody treats you bad with disrespect, you're not happy. And the people you treat bad feel the same way. It's no different. Nobody's entitled to treat anybody bad that doesn't deserve it, you know? So treat people the way they deserve to be treated, you know? And people will appreciate that. That's all. Just being fair, man. Consequences are the most important thing to think about. Everybody, if the action that you do, whether it be good or bad, always has consequences. If you do negative action, there's negative consequences. The bigger the action, the bigger the consequence. And those consequences don't go away. The action takes 2 seconds. We're all capable of all types of violence, all types of good, all types of bad. Anybody, I mean, from the smallest person, it doesn't matter your size. It matters your will to do it. And there's a lot of people out there, and they say, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. Well, you know what? You're going to care when you get nailed. You're going to care when you pay those consequences, because all this stuff out here, if you've never done time, been locked away in cells for a long time, you have no idea the consequence. And the people that have done it and say, oh, it ain't shit, well, I don't even fuck those guys. Their opinion doesn't matter anyway. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. What's it like being in a little cell, solitary?
You know, you get used to it. I'm sad to say, but you'd have to. If you don't get used to it, you're not going to survive. You're going to go nuts. People are adaptable. You can do just about anything, and over time, somebody's going to be adapting to whatever it is. You know, whether it be torture. In this day and age, there's not physical torture, but they've refined mental torture to a fine art. And if you've got the government pissed off at you, they have many ways to mentally break you down, and they'll try, you know. And if you're strong, you won't be broke down, but you're not going to have a good time while they're trying.
Absolutely. Attica 7, it's www.attica7.com. We got some great stuff coming up in the future, you think, here?
Yeah, I'm real excited about what's going on right now. I don't want to get into the details because it hasn't happened yet. And it's not good to talk about things that haven't happened yet with certainty, but we've got some good things coming up in 2013. I think you guys will be seeing us in many places.
Okay, so right now your fans can get CD on your website.
They can go to our website. They can go to iTunes, Amazon. I think FYE or FYI, one of those stores. And Best Buy.
Best Buy? Yeah. All right. And merchandise, shirts, things like that?
We got shirts, CDs, hats, posters, and the stuff's growing. You know, it's kind of in the infancy right now.
Music videos on the coming up?
Yeah, we do have one music video for Serial Killer that's done right now. I don't know if we're going to re-edit it. It's a good video, but I want to have a great video. So we'll see what happens there. We have plans for a series of videos coming up here within the next 2 to 3 months.
Fantastic. All right. Well, the fans are going to be in for a treat. I mean, like I said, I've been fortunate to travel with you guys, and you are my ultimate favorite. I've listened to a lot of bands, been with a lot of bands, but when people ask me what was your favorite tour, I'm going to have to say Attica 7.
Right on, man. You want me to pay you now?
check would be fine.
My
actually,
home, sorry, man.
Actually, I was thinking about a new bike. I mean, that one behind you looks pretty
what?
Good. So. A new bike.
What?
Bike.
I can't hear what?
Motorcycle.
Huh? I can't hear. I've been playing so much, I can't hear.
That thing behind you lit up really
good?
Beautiful. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
My senses messed up, too, man. I got to start getting rough.
All right.
I'm Rusty Coons with the band Attica 7, and you've been watching Rock Biz Magazine. Yeah.
Great. We're out. That's a wrap. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what is it? Just me and you? Where is everybody?
The little one's going to be joining us here shortly. She had something to do, babysitting or something.
Okay.
Say hello
to
you.
I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm all
right. Hello. Oh, hello.
How are you tonight?
I am just wonderful.
Awesome.
Yes. I decided that I needed an uplift.
Hey, there you go.
Hey. So I took the snow white hair, and I went to the beauty parlor, and I had it dyed.
Nice.
So now I'm like 10 years younger, so.
Fire engine red, so right?
Pardon?
Fire engine red, right?
No, not red.
No?
No. A light brown.
Light brown? Fish water blonde?
Yeah. No, I didn't want to go blonde. I've always been blonde. So I figured I'd go a little bit a light brown and then put a highlight in it. So I even tried to pick me up, a young gentleman.
There you go.
Until I turned around and seen my face. But I feel good about it. You know, I needed something to uplift me, and I don't mean a bra. I told my husband tonight that I wish we could still walk around without bras, but mine would be knocking against my knees, and that would be terrible.
Yeah.
Being knocking against your knees, you know.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You don't want to trip over me, either.
I know it. Just can't afford that, you know, fall and break my neck.
So what's going on in Florida?
Huh? What's
going on in Florida?
Nothing too much. Well, I told you that Reflection Bay passed. So they'll be breaking grounds pretty soon.
Nice.
Which will be really nice. And it's going to be all union. Because like I told them, you know, one thing that's going to get you in here, believe it or not, and this is a Republican state, that if you go all union, the unions will fight right behind you. And that's what he did. And because I know a few people down here, and of course, my husband was in the union, so he knows some of the hot dogs down here. So they made a commitment to all the unions, so when the job starts, it will be a union job, you know?
Uh-huh.
Which is good, because you get some of those smug people that come in and don't do nothing.
Yeah. Nah, I'm in the union too.
Yeah, I know you are. And like I told you, that Senator Brownsburg put out a whole thing on the sexual abuse bill.
Right.
And, of course, I'm going home the 26th of April.
Uh-huh.
Because the first week in May, they're going to have the hearings. And so I got to be there. But it's going to be a short-lived, excuse me, I was filling my face, a short-lived stay in the Judiciary Committee.
Uh-huh.
And then it will go back to the House. And the House has already kind of made promises that they'll pass the bill the way it is. And what they did do is they went from 3 years, from 21 years of age, up to 55 years of age.
Uh-huh.
You'll still be able to sue.
Nice.
The statute of limitation was if you were 21 and you remembered, you had 3 years after that to file.
Uh-huh.
Now, like I said, it's up to 55 years old, and that you can file, you know. So that's pretty good. That's kind of a big one. And the windows part of it that we wanted is going to pass the way we wanted it. And insurance company and non-profitable organizations and hospitals, you know, it's just not the Catholic Church, but several organizations, meaning hospitals and, you know, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and synagogue, and, you know, they're all going to be accountable for their actions.
Nice.
And they're going to be trying them. They'll be trying them. So hopefully this Pope will clean it up and, you know, stand up there and say, okay, we did a lot of wrong things, you know. And we'll see what it does. That's all we can do. And we did find out that the second one that was in line to become the Pope was, let's screw up his name, I know it. He's up in Boston now. He's the Cardinal up in Boston. He was down here in Florida. But he came in second. You know how close that was. It was really, really a close.
At first, they thought it was the dude right here from the city next to me, Fall River. Cardinal, oh, God, I can't even think of his name off the top of my head.
I know, isn't it awful?
But, yeah, he was right from the city, one town over from where I live.
Yeah, well,
and
he's original. I was hoping.
I was like, okay. And, like, we were goofing, me and my friends. We were like, can you imagine the Pope-mobile going down South Main Street, Fall River?
Right.
And saying hi to all of us. You know, it was like, you know, we had a few laughs over it, but it's like, you know, imagine. It's like if the Pope came out of Massachusetts, it would be like, wow.
Well, you know something, the whole thing is we're too liberal here. And the Italians would have never had that happen. You know?
Although I think
but he did come in second.
I think Francis will do okay, though. He seems to be pretty down to earth and very humble, you know. So we'll see where he goes with this.
Yeah, well, he knows there's a big problem, and the other one couldn't handle it, you know, because he's got. I mean, he's been accused himself of covering up, you know, so. They had to get somebody in there, and like I said, hey, South America, you know, not too far away. We'll just see what happens with them, you know. And, you know, if you want to see that bill and how it's written up, you just go to Will, W-I-L-L, Brownsburger, and just hit search, and that will come up. You got to scroll down a little bit, but it will come up and it'll say Senator Brownsburger, and it'll give you the bill. The bill number is S.366 or 663. I'm terrible with the numbers, but just punch that in and it'll give you the whole breakdown of the bill. So you know. And we know he's going for higher places, and hey, he can use this bill, you know, as a stepping stone. I don't care as long as it gets done. You know.
Uh-huh.
So hopefully when I get, hopefully I'll be passed in, hello? I was going to say hopefully by the end of May, the 1st of June, it will be back in the Senate, and then it'll go to the governor. So.
All right, you know, just keep me in the loop on that.
Now, what am I going to do after that?
I don't know. There's always Mexico.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yep. There's always Mexico. Down here. So.
What's in Mexico?
That big party we're going to have in July.
Yeah, well, I know that, but I thought you meant there was a job to do or something. I was going to say, sit back and enjoy The Walking Dead. I love that show.
Yeah.
It's a good show. It's based off the comic book with a good storyline. It is. Catch yourself an episode sometime.
But you know something, I've outgrown TV. I remember when I was in my 20s, oh my God. Don't interrupt me with my soap operas from 12 to 1, because that's the only time they had them on, 15 minutes of at a whack.
I only have a short margin of TV time, and usually it's late at night, and I land up watching The Golden Girls and falling asleep.
They are funny. They're super funny.
Okay. But yeah. I do have a couple of particular shows I have to watch, and one is The Walking Dead, two is The Vampire Diaries, and three is that show on Sci-Fi, Face Off. They build all the horror masks, you know, for people all these horror things in the movies and stuff. And, you know, they do full body sculptures and everything. And now that's cool because, you know, you see how something develops from start to finish. It's a pretty cool show. But that's about really it.
Yeah. But, you know, I've got a fight down here because now they really want me to run for county commissioner down here.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So I told my husband last night, what?
Well, I was going to ask Phil something, but go ahead and finish what you were saying.
No, I was just telling him they want me to run for that position, so I might.
Are you going
that.
To? Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I think I might just do that. I might lose, but, you know.
You should make those little buttons with your picture on it. We'll all sport a button on our shirts.
Good.
You know the little pins they used to make with, you know, whoever was running for office? It's got a little red, white, and blue pin with your picture on it. There you go.
Well, the person they get in here now is just, come on, Patrick. He won't come in. He's sitting outside my door here crying. The dog. No, don't go in my closet. Get out of there. Who are you going back out on? Oh, go ahead. I got him. I'll just see. I will go up and test it first.
All right. I got a question, Phil.
All right.
All right.
All right, so what do you think of today's news? What do you think of equality for everyone? But before you answer that, I'm going to give you my answer.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't read the paper.
Oh, well, went up in front of the Supreme Court today in regards to the old Proposition 8. Am I saying that correct, I think?
Uh-huh.
It's the thing is that, you know, I believe that the gay and lesbian society should have the same equal rights as everybody else. If you get married, you should be able to have health insurance, life insurance, whatever it is you need. Mm-hmm. You're considered married. And, you know, I also believe that with men and women. And once again, you get this religious flavor mixing in with government politics, and it makes for a big mess. And, you know, really, how would the straight people of the world like it if I just, let's say, they were having dinner, a couple, and I just kicked open the door and looked at them and said, you're not allowed to be together. And so says me. How can you know, things be governed that way? And if you go biblically, mind you, the Bible was written by man. It wasn't a book passed down from God. And one man's interpretation is different than another man's interpretation. But quite realistically, if you look at a lot of the statistics, more children come from a happier, stronger, and healthier environment with gay people than they do with straight people. And that's pretty sad, because these straight people are all up on their little soapboxes saying, you know, we can, you can't. But, you know, it's just ridiculous. And I just believe that there should be equality clear across the line. You should be able to marry who you want, divorce who you want, insure who you want. And, you know, if you're not causing me grief, hey, I ain't got no problem with it. But, you know, it's just ridiculous. And it's about time that this country got their shit together and just accepted the fact that, you know, the gay society, I think it's a travesty that we even have to call it a gay society. They're human beings, just like me and Joe Schmo down the street. It's called We Our One Society. It's not, you know, this society, that society. If you're from the United States, you're just part of one society. Bullshit to all these little terms and nicknames and everything else that people give every little click that comes along. And that's the way I firmly feel, you know, and it's like, and if somebody has a problem with that, they can, you know, I'll gladly address it with them. I'll gladly debate it with them. I ain't got no problem with that.
You know, I have no problem with that. I have a sister who's gay. I have no problem with it at all. But you snotty-ass people with money wants to run this country. The churches want to run this country, and the insurance companies want to run this country. Now, just think about it.
Yep, and Mr. Romney, who just ran for president, Mr. I'm so holy than thou, who don't want, you know, the gay people to have rights, and he's got all them little Mormon people on board with him and all these super-powered Christianity churches. You know, if they followed the one thing that God says is to love everybody, well, what happened to that love? Only particular people get the love and the money.
Well, because I'm old and because we've dealt with a lot of issues that people, you know, never thought we'd ever have to deal with growing up. As I told you before, people have got to realize that this country turned everything over to insurance companies. And if you really think about it, they insure everything.
Yep.
So naturally, they're going to get everybody wound up because they don't want to have to pay out big bucks to anybody
for anything. But here's the thing, too. The insurance companies aren't realizing that, okay, if we allow people to be free, marry who they want that makes them happy, well, that's more money pouring into their insurance company because now more people can be insured, whether it's life insurance, health insurance, whatever. You know, and it's just like the military. Who in fuck said, you know, excuse my French, I'm sorry I'm dropping F-bombs here, but like
right.
my daughter went through basic training, and she said, and she was in the Army, she said there was a lot of gay people, but like she said, she would have anyone, whether they were gay, straight, up, down, side, whatever, she felt no qualms with protecting or having them protect her. Because you know what? Here's the thing. They're giving up their selves to protect people in this country. And how people can have a problem with that is beyond me. Better yet, where's all the straight people stepping up to, you know, join the military? That's where it should be. You know, if you got a big hang up about gay people in the military, well, where are all the straight people? I don't see them in line. You know, it's like you get trained to do the same thing. And it's like, you know, what's good for one is good for the other, and it's just bullshit. This country, it has modernized. We swear on regular TV now. You get ass shots on regular TV. You have people talking about all kinds of stuff political wise, and you're gonna tell me that something so much as gay people make this much of a stink in society? Shame on people. Who the hell is anybody to think that they're better than anybody else?
We're still just a product of our parents. You know, and that's an awful thing to say, but it's the truth. I mean, I would say 75% of the people that are my age, this is the way they were brought up, you know.
Right,
and you're not
going to
change them.
I was brought up; it wasn't even talked about. You know, it just it was. I'm going to assume that when I was younger, it was just something that was kept, you know, under the rug or for adult conversation. I don't know, but it just wasn't addressed. So, I formed my own opinion by me, and I know a lot of people that I've talked to that are my generation and age have said the same thing. You know, and I think if you're a decent human being, then you're not going to practice hate and have that hate pour out of your mouth because a person is gay or lesbian. It's, you know what, they can love, they can feel sadness, they can feel pain, they can be happy, they can be educated. And here we are once again with that title of they are, they're human beings. And see, that's the part that everybody seems to skip. And how many of these beautiful human beings go out and adopt children, foster care children, and these kids have the best growing up possible, but yet you get a straight couple that don't want the time of day. It's, oh, if you can't give me a little bitty baby, we want nothing to do with that. You know, I mean, it's really sad. Hatred is a strong thing.
Now, you said, what does insurance companies have to do? First of all, they don't want to insure gay people because they have the stigmatism of AIDS and what it's going to cost.
It doesn't matter. But straight people can get AIDS, and look at the cost of cancer treatments. Let me tell you, two of my friends had cancer, and we had to have benefits for them so they could get stem cells up at Dana-Farber because insurance don't cover that. So that's the biggest crock of shit, because AIDS has hit an all-time low in numbers because people now are aware of it, and we're using condoms, and we're not giving it up so easy.
You know what it all boils down to?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That's what it is.
I know you don't believe that, but can I just say this? 35 years I've been fighting the insurance companies. 35 years. You do not realize how much control they have in this country.
Oh, I believe it. I absolutely believe
it. You know, so much control. It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, they run this country. They want to make money. They don't want to lose money. Why do you think a lot of these HMOs are going under now? And they are. A lot of big ones are really falling by the wayside. You know, it's unbelievable. You wouldn't know. You don't know half the stories that I could tell you.
Well,
you know?
I'm gonna tell you something. My mother took sick back in August. She became a paraplegic. She worked for over 40 years as a nurse with her master's degree. She was head nurse at two hospitals. Worked her ass off. Now, here's a good one for you. She had to cash in a few of her benefits early because shit happened. Can't control what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And was entitled to one form of insurance and wasn't entitled to the other form of insurance due to a couple of dollars and a little bit of change. So
right.
with the help of a social worker, she now has a $600 copay so she can have a little bit of the other insurance. So if there's anybody right now that knows what insurance companies are doing, oh, I do firsthand. And ask me, you know, does my mother have anything left to bury her with? No, because, see, they forced mm-hmm. her hand at that, too. And I was raised in a middle class, what we would consider middle class. My father worked at General Dynamics in Quincy. My mother was a nurse over here in the hospitals. We went to private schools. We went on vacation twice a year. We were considered very well off. And now my mother had to do a reverse mortgage, has to do this humongous copay on an insurance she should be entitled to, and has happened to give up everything due to insurance companies. So I know firsthand because me and my brother, we take care of my mother. My mother's not in no nursing home. She sits home here at the house with us. So we've gone round and round with insurance companies, and I know what they're capable of, and I know what they do. And anything that they can do to stick it to you, they will.
Oh, yeah.
They tried to stick it to me today.
Really? What happened with you?
Bill called me and said that somebody called and said they were sending a tow truck for a bike. I mean, let's not mention the incident, just the bike. And they said, we're sending a tow truck and a check for $9,000. You got to sign some papers, and we're going to take the bike. I don't think so. I told Bill, I said, that doesn't go anywhere because nobody's called me. They should call me first before they call them. So somebody, Slim Shady here was trying to do something. And finally got a hold of one guy, and he was totally in the dark, and he happened to be the same guy that did the case on my bike when that kid wrecked my bike. And,
yeah.
He was like, yeah, no, I know you guys, you take good care of your shit, and we'll see what's going on, but no, I'm not going to release anything. And I think it was the other insurance company from the woman that hit the bike. So they're trying to play games already. And then they asked about putting in the claim for injuries today. I said, well, you talk to the attorney about that.
Yeah, absolutely, poor thing.
For Bill, the fucking bike doesn't go anywhere. Okay, brother, I know.
Well, at least it's with Bill, somebody you can wholeheartedly trust, you know? And it's a good thing that, you know, he was kind enough to call you first because, you know, any other schmuck down the road would have been like, oh, okay, here you go.
Yeah, because they thought they did their check for storage. But I'm not getting charged for storage.
Hey Phil, did my CD leave Bill's desk yet?
You were supposed to call him back about sizes and something he told me.
Sizes of what?
Shirt or a sweatshirt you wanted?
No, I said a shirt and I told you extra large, dude. I'm like, extra large works for everybody.
No, you told me, but Bill said you were calling him back.
I was calling. Wait a minute. He must be confusing me with Nora because I haven't called Bill or talked to Bill except that time when the two of you called me.
Yeah,
you know,
call him and talk to the shop?
Nope. You know my policy. I don't call him. I don't call anybody at work. I don't give a shit if you sit around all day twiddling your thumbs. That's not the way I roll. I don't bug
nobody. You might have been a little buddy then.
Yeah, I think it might be the little buddy.
I'll find out.
You better have the certain person that autographed that give it a kiss for me. So it can be really, you know.
I don't know. Actually, I'll see him Friday.
Well, you
can
tell
him. He's got some new shirt. Stop.
Well, There you go.
That'll be my drop the ball present.
You drop the ball present. By the time I get this, it'll be in a box that's like 8x10, right?
By the time you get it, you'll probably need a size medium or small, huh?
Possibly, man. I've become such a gym junkie. I finally like moved off them stupid weight machines, and I'm doing free weights, and like I'm beasting out is what I'm doing. By the time I'm done, I'm gonna be able to.
You know, it's freezing down here.
In Florida?
Yes. It's something like 51 now.
Shit. We only had a below
51. I had sun all day.
Tell us about your nice warm southern breeze there, Phil. We know. 78 with a mild wind coming southerly off the
78
ocean.
With a mild breeze coming in off the crisp, cool Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, there you go. Do you get earthquakes where you are?
Only on Saturday night.
No, shoot. Seriously, like in the part of California you're at, you don't like get those earthquakes like they do out in Oakland, do they? Do you?
No, they got it. No. They got it about 100 miles south of me. It was the worst one, but no. Usually here, just shit rattles on the wall for a while.
Oh, all
right. So. Talk to Hermes. He's feeling a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a friend of mine. His name is Andrew Benarski. He plays the guy in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Anyway.
Is he Polish?
Huh?
Is he Polish?
Yeah.
I thought so. That type of last.
It says gay marriage is a sin in the Bible. Wonderful. Now show me where it says so in the Constitution.
Well, again, you know, there's that whole religion and state thing that's supposed to be separated.
Tell me about that's a crock of bullshit. Every church has got lobbyists working for them.
Look, I could understand. If the churches want to keep the straight thing going, hey, that's fine because you're in your little church community. But the United States as a whole, you know, this country founded on equality and freedom. And so far, that seems to go further and further and further out to East Bum, what you see each and every day.
Why don't you think you do not hear of lay people getting up in the House of Representatives, Congress?
Ivy League University with the gold spoon in your mouth from the moment of conception, please. Shoot. Sometimes I wonder, look, I like some of the Kennedys, some of them I could care less for, but I wonder sometimes just being in the state of Massachusetts, do people actually look into their background or is it because they're a Kennedy that they vote, you know? Different things.
Now, people don't take the time to look through anybody's background anymore.
No.
They don't. What they do is they see the names constantly, 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 and they'll say, okay, I'll vote for this one.
All the Bushes, too. They're all from massive amounts of money, too, you know? And it's like,
have a limit on using their money for our political causes. A lot of them would not get into any of these official they wouldn't get in.
They need to put a limit on the people in Congress, how many years you can sit your ass in there. And then you need to be, I personally feel that when you're done in there, you need to be forced out into the real world to get a real job. None of these high prices.
Hey, you're communicating.
Oh, go ahead. Say hello to Nora.
Hey, Nora.
Sorry, I was fashionably late, but it's okay. I'm here.
So what are you wearing for fashion?
It's a monkey angel jammy pants. I got a Loop shirt on. The Loop is a Chicago rock station. So I'm supporting one of their 70 shirts. Let's see. I have a big blue fluffy robe on with ankle socks, so I look like a little smurf.
All you need is pink rollers in your hair, and you'd be a spitting image of Carol Burnett.
Yeah, dude. Pretty much. Well, yeah, I was going to say, wait, she had red hair. No, that was Lucy. Lucy, I'm home.
I hate to sidetrack, but if y'all like diet, like I like diet stuff, y'all need to get yourself a bottle of that Crystal Light liquid, the blueberry raspberry. Oh, my God. What it does
Crystal
to your,
Light.
Oh, what it does to your water, it's amazing. It takes you to a paradise.
Oh, I'm going to take you to a paradise.
I need a paradise.
You'd like to hear about my wonderful weekend with my sister from the West Coast?
Sure.
So,
well, she lives on the West Coast of Florida, and her and her husband come to visit us this week. So now she drives up, you know, and she gets out of the car, bouncing out of the car, and she's saying, Paul, Paul, wait till you see the gift Michael and I got you. He says, yeah, okay, you know. So then she goes, and where is my Patrick? And Paul says, well, call him. So he comes out into the living room. She says, oh, Patrick, wait till I show you what Auntie Betty bought you. And as a schmuck, I'm sitting there. Guess what? I didn't even get a fucking leaf from the tree outside.
Wow.
See? So she decided that she was staying with the gentleman after we went out to eat in the living room. And, of course, I have more important things to do. And she stayed in there and talked with them all night long. Not all night long, but, you know, pretty close. And then in the morning, she got up and friends of mine come in. I have these men that come in at 6 o'clock in the morning to have coffee. You know, Eunice's Coffee Jack. And so we're talking business. And she says, oh, well, I had a friend just like that. Now, let me tell you how to solve this. And I looked at her and I said, Betty, please.
Shut up.
Don't know what we're talking about. So then they were going to take me out to brunch Sunday. So I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I goes, Paul, I'm cooking breakfast for them. So at 7 o'clock I went in and I woke her up and I says, guess what, Betty? I know you want to get on the road early, so I could practice all ready for you. So they kind of opened their eyes, you know. Oh, well, what time is it? I said, 7 o'clock. I'm sure you want to get on the road by 9. So that was my wonderful weekend. Everybody got a gift but me, and I'm her fucking sister. So I called her and I said to her, Betty, Paul and I are coming over and I want you to understand and I want you to feel bad, but we bought Michael a gift and not you.
See?
And it's not the gift. It's not the gift. It's... I'm her sister. I could have got a leave. She could have picked it out right outside here. Or she could have said, this wine is for you and Paul, you know, but it wasn't done that way. So, again, there'll probably be 10 years or I'll probably be dead by the time I see her again. So, that was my one full weekend with her, which I wanted to kill her 100 times. But I contained myself, and you would have been very proud of me.
Good.
As underneath my breath, I was saying, fuck you. That was my weekend, fellows and girls and gentlemen.
Wow.
You know.
Sounds
so
eventful.
I told it. I gave her the phone number, Phil, so she could listen into the show. So, Betty, I hope you're listening.
Bada-ding.
So, what hey. Did I miss so far?
Nothing.
Okay.
Played, no, I got a bunch of stuff of a bunch of emails about hear Rusty's interview again, so I played it at the beginning.
Oh, cool. Oh, I saw the carriages that were built that moved some pretty hefty singers through Hollywood. Oh my God, I was amazed when I saw those photos. I'm like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
He did some amazing builds.
Yeah, I'll see him. She's Friday.
And T-Rod, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nara,
builders.
I'm not a gray-haired lady anymore.
Well, good. I'm glad you were able. Did you find the right hair color?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes. I most certainly did. And I come home and I says, well, what do you think about it? And he goes, I really liked your white hair.
Let's see, some people get used to that. You know what
yep.
I mean?
I said to him, well, just think of it this way. Now you have a much younger looking wife.
Very true.
Yeah.
And it's better that the men look older. They look more distinguished, you know, we're supposed
right.
to be the younger looking and look at us.
Right. Now I'm just going to have to go on the buying spree, you know, because the clothes that I have don't go with the hairdo, see, so.
Oh.
Now I will go do some shopping.
Well, I have some news. My grandson is 11 pounds, 6 ounces. Ooh.
That's great.
And he is in serious teething.
Oh.
There's about 5 teeth right wanting to pop.
Oh, good. Good.
So remember, Stacy, when, you know, Megan had posted that I think he's teething, and you're like, no, he's too young? He was teething.
Yep.
Crazy.
My granddaughter hasn't popped a tooth yet. Not one.
Mm. Now, what are you guys? Are you guys on Facebook?
What?
Yeah.
You're
we're both
Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yep.
Hmm.
No, I actually introduced him to a Girl Scout cookie today.
No, you didn't. He's
oh,
too
yes,
little.
I did. It was a butter cookie. I mean, he can almost put his whole entire fist in his mouth because his gums are, like, sore, and the doctor doesn't want him to use the teething rings or, like, the teething biscuits, so I'm like, I'm going to sneak you a Girl Scout cookie. Oh, he was just in heaven until he was done, and he started screaming, like, where's more? Tomorrow is the surgeon's appointment.
Now, when's that?
So whatever takes place with the neurosurgeon will be posted on as well.
Okay.
All right, cool.
But Stacey, see the CAT scan, right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was looking at.
Did you guys see my new show banner?
No.
No. Wait a minute. I was going to say, on the stuff of Bikers of America, the little picture.
The one that I'm sitting on the bike.
Sitting on the bike. With the American flag?
Yeah. Well,
that's the new picture?
No, not that one. I just sent it to you. Check your thing.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's a lot
I'm
of work.
I'm having a cigarette, so.
I haven't seen it yet.
Huh?
You need a Facebook, Eunice.
I'm going on there right now. I used to be on Facebook.
What happened?
I had not too many people hitting on me. I want to be your friend.
Yeah, some look for sex, well, some look for marriage, some, you know, they're crazy,
you know,
out there.
That's how me, Phil, and Nora all met.
First Stacy and I met, oh, God, what was that, about 8 years ago, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
On MySpace.
Yep, MySpace.
Yep.
So, I mean, we've never actually physically met. We just do a lot of yapping on the phone and through Facebook and,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's it. Sometimes you just got to take a chance on the strange ducks like Phil.
Yep. Yeah, oh, my God. I had a message sent to me yesterday morning that flipped out off the couch. Holy cow. I don't know. I want to say it was about 4 years ago. I did something I shouldn't have done. And the guy's like, I didn't know that was you. Your hair is different, you know. And I'm like, yeah, when I took the photo, you know. And so now he wants to do the hookup.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, it was just a fuck. It wasn't nothing else.
Phil, I don't like it.
What?
Right.
The new banner. Because you can't see Bill. You and Bill are like tiny, tiny, tiny in the background. All you see is you on that bike. Poor Bill.
You see Bill? Put your glasses on.
No. He looks like a little, like, cupcake crumb in the background.
No.
Actually,
that's where he wanted to be in that picture.
Wow. Really?
Yep.
I like the old picture better with the two of you up against the Kennedy's custom thingy-jig.
Yeah, that thing is in the shop. It's on the wall in the shop.
Right, I believe that, but I don't know. I like that better. Not insulting you, because that is a very nice picture of you on the bike, but I don't know.
So I don't see his dyed hair, though.
You know who took that picture, don't you?
Fran.
The only time I had a woman on her back in the parking lot for 6 hours, and all I got was pictures.
Yeah, I was going to say she was laying down underneath you, wasn't she? Yeah. It's a badass picture, it is. Absolutely.
Everybody, when I first put that up, everybody wanted to know what the emergency was because they thought the flag was upside down.
Well, it's the lens of the camera. Yeah.
I think you should put all of us on there because we're all in the show.
Oh, hell
yeah.
No. I don't want my picture on that thing.
Why?
No.
Why?
Because I'm like, you know, was that Jay and Silent Bob or Bob and Silent Jay, whatever that is.
Jay
I'm
and Silent Bob.
Yeah. I'm the silent. That's it. No, I don't need my
picture
blasted.
You're not silent.
No. No. Shoot.
I'm just waiting for this stupid computer to get going here, and I'm going to go try to get back on Facebook. And there is a picture of me on Facebook, so. How do you do that? Once you sign off, you have to re-sign up.
A picture?
Hey, you should just be able to redo your thing.
Yep, it'll be the same password and everything. You just re-put it in and pow, your Facebook will return again because everything put on a computer is never permanently erased.
Yep.
Well, just keep talking. I'm trying to get there, so. I'm trying to get there, girls. I'm such a computer.
So, Phil.
Yes.
Phil. So,
yes.
Like, do you have a rough estimate when the little CD is going in the mail?
Yeah, as soon as I talk to that guy.
I've been waiting, like, a long time.
There you go, Nora. You get him. Now, he's going, wait, Nora. He's going to another
I'll
event.
Be the feisty ass on this because, you know, last time when I talked to him, I gave him hell. I'm like, how long do I have to wait here? Well,
he's going to see the man again this weekend. We can get two more T-shirts out of the deal and bigger boxes.
Maybe they have panties and we can get panties, signed panties.
Oh
yeah.
No, I just want a T-shirt with a little bit of slobber. You know?
Oh, maybe we can get the 65th annual one. That would be wicked.
Phil, you are taking notes, right?
I already have the man's pants. Well, I got one pair left.
There you go. Phil saying to himself, I'm done with these two. Yeah,
wouldn't you miss
my
them,
goodness.
Huh?
Wouldn't you miss the girls?
Yeah.
He would miss us, you know. He would.
Shit, I'd miss myself. I cracked my own self up. I'm telling you. But I'll tell you what, though. I have to share this with you guys.
Hey, wait, I have something to ask you.
Oh, go ahead.
What's the deal with Welker going to the Broncos?
You know what they say, you bend over once, you bend over twice.
I wonder if he can touch his toes.
Once a jackass, always a jackass, right?
And who the hell is a Broncos
now,
fan?
There's two interpretations of it. You can either be a whiny-ass fan that says, you know, his agent messed up, didn't hand in the paperwork on time, thought that the Patriots were going to underbid when they really offered him a lot more money than the Broncos ever did. Or you can chalk it up like a veteran diehard Patriot fan like myself. Shit happens. It's business. What are you going to do about it?
Over it.
Well,
like,
who the hell is a Broncos fan?
Well, just like Brian Urlacher. The Bears let him go.
Yeah, but you know what?
Just like half the defense from the Ravens are now gone, too.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting things.
Everything's changing.
But the one thing I know is in these next couple of years, my Brady will be retiring. And the day he retires is you guys ain't going to be able to talk to me for a couple of days because I'm going to be in a deep, dark depression. I love that man.
He's going to be crying. She is.
Because, no, he's gonna retire a Patriot and stay retired. He ain't going to do like the doofus did in Green Bay. He's making so much money modeling with Giselle and everything. Shit. Please. Now, he's gonna do a nice almost 20-year spin with the Patriots, and he's going to retire with some of the craziest broken records out there, and he's going to keep his respect because, oh boy, Favre from Green Bay that decided to leave Green Bay and bounce from team to team.
Oh, he's an asshole. I never liked him anyway.
But that's his legacy now, is the idiot that left Green Bay and was an old man and tried to stay a quarterback. Nobody says anything good about him. And, I mean, that man during his heyday was amazing. He took Green Bay to places they never even dreamed about going. And that's one thing I can say about my Brady. Say what you will. Everybody calls him, you know, a girl and this, that, and the other. Well, I ain't seen a girl throw for the amount of yardage he has. And I ain't seen a girl.
I've never called that man a girl.
Let me tell you this. If you're going to be in a bad mood or you're not going to be in a bad mood, this is what I want you to say. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm in a hey-if mood. Or hey-if. If I get the opportunity to punch someone in the face today, I'm taking it mood.
I'm not in a bad mood. I'm in a hey-if mood. Is that what you said?
Hey-if.
Not in a bad in a bad mood. I'm in a hey-if mood. If I get If I get the opportunity to punch someone in the face today, I'm taking it mood.
Oh, I've had those days, and I've said those things.
I can't post stuff like that because people take it personal to them.
Yeah.
Facebook is just not fun anymore.
No, it's you know, it was when it first started, and now it's like the only thing
serious.
I kick it with, like, the people I truly keep towards my heart, like you and Phil and a couple of different other people. But I just put up inspirational stuff in the morning because, you know, I go hardcore balls to the walls at the gym and hope that people will find a healthier side of life. You know, I've been smoke-free, as in cigarettes, and smoke-free as in the other. I've been caffeine-free now. I'm carbohydrate-free. I'm sugar-free, you know, and I have found a totally different meaning to my life. I mean, legitimately, the amount of protein I intake per day and the double dose of vitamins and different things, I feel like I'm on crack.
And that's the truth. I got more energy than I know what to do with, and I haven't felt like this since I was 10 years old. God honest truth.
Wow.
Yeah. Let it be known. And it's like if I can motivate anybody with the few pictures I put up each morning before I go to the gym, I hope I can. I hope I can change somebody's thought mechanism because the last 20 years, to me, were wasted. You know, I'm being unhealthy, and I'm never going back that way again, and that's that.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for this. It said, last attempt to restore the system from the previous failure. So what do I do now? Continue to system restore.
Oh, if you guys didn't realize, your page looks different than what it used to. Facebook changed again.
Huh?
Your profile page. It's different.
What's
now.
It look like? What's it look like now? When did this happen?
Mine just happened yesterday. I had to redo my settings.
Oh, great. You know what? I'll just
It's always all columnized. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what I'll do is I'll get on the home computer. I always get on the home computer in the morning and just kind of check everything out because what I see on my phone ain't always what I see on the mainframe computer, you know?
Right.
A little bit different. So I always kind of scope stuff out on the house computer, but I'll check that out in the morning. Facebook needs to just leave shit alone. And, I mean, I understand you got to roll with the times and do what, you know, some people might think is great, but, you know, there's an old saying, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it.
No, you know what I say? This is for you guys. Check this out.
Dude, I hate that song. I can't stand that song. That's just like that stupid song, Diamonds, like a diamond sparkles in the... What does it say?
Oh, I actually like that song.
Diamonds sparkle in the sky. Am I saying that right? I don't think diamonds sparkle. They shine or some shit like this. I don't know.
Oh, diamonds sparkle. If you have actual ones, yeah, they do.
Yeah, but I can't stand Rihanna. I'm all set with her. I think she's trashy. She's beyond trashy. She's ghetto trashy. She's ghetto trashy trampy. That's my interpretation of that woman. I want to listen to her. I don't like a woman that doesn't leave nothing to the imagination. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I like men. But when a woman throws herself out in public every chance she gets, and you can see the boobage and the vajayjay underneath this little piece of chic sheer something, that's not a woman. That's ghetto trash. That's as trashy gets.
Oh, sorry,
I
guess I'm ghetto trash. I don't care.
Well, are you posing for pictures?
Huh?
Wait a minute, Laura. Are you on thousands of albums that go around the world and back?
No.
This is stuff our kids are looking at. You know,
no,
and
I know.
Personally,
like when Britney Spears was the same way, Madonna, and, you know, that's all a phase.
Yep.
But
they
unfortunately, with some of it stays with kids' heads, you know.
Still weren't walking around with their clothes off, and Rihanna does it constantly. And I understand she's from down where the islands, where the tropical love is and everything else, but you know what? You got to have class about yourself, you know?
You know
and
what I find is funny is,
in regards to
trying to keep your clothes on, you know, I mean, when you get to a certain size, yeah, it's hard to try and keep your clothes up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I have
that. I always have mine on.
I just think, like, you know, our buddy Ryan, he takes some friggin' hot pictures of some beautiful women out there. But the ones I like the most, seriously, are the ones where not everything is out. You know, they look
right.
very sexy, sensual. You know, I mean, that's what makes me proud to be a woman. I'm not into all that trashy aspect. You know, leave the trash for when you're alone with your person and you got the candles going and the lovemaking's happening. You know, but
right.
when you want to spark a statement in the world, you know, be proud of being a woman, but be sensual and sexy. Don't be trashy and ghetto, you know, and they're two different things. And like Rihanna, shame on her. She has all that money and she walks around like she's trash. And I just don't understand it. She could have the best photographers in the world making her, you know, look like to be the most desirable woman. And instead, she'd just rather show up at the Grammys wearing nothing or whatever, you know. It's like,
right.
hey, whatever floats your boat, shoot.
Yeah.
That's my take on that.
I don't know.
So, Phil, yeah. what do you think about that? You like trashy, trampy women or, you
no.
know,
no.
women that, you know, you have to imagine what's, you know, underneath everything?
Let me explain something to you. Do you see,
yeah.
if you looked at my blog, do you see the pictures I get to post?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
Okay. Now, it's like Henry, right here, Henry says, we guys like trash and ghetto at times. It's good eye candy. But for me,
yeah.
I have the choice. I can either look at it or I don't have to. You know. I've been around the world a few times. I can honestly say I've seen a lot of things. I mean, sometimes when we're on the show, you guys don't know, but we got a dominatrix in Finland that sends us videos while we're on the show. So Bill is actually standing up, looking upside down, going, and he's tapping me, going, they can really do that?
Oh, you ratting out, Bill. That's not good. Next time, take a picture of his cute little face doing that. They can actually do that? Oh, my God. But tell Henry you can't turn a whore into a housewife, honey. You know, if you want trashy on your arm, just remember that when walking with trashy, that means everybody else is looking at your trash.
That's true, too.
My grandmother, who married 5 different men, and they all died. God, she
had... Henry says you're right. One person's trash is someone's treasure.
Oh, God. All right, Henry, you got one on me there.
Well, if he ought to just call in.
No doubt.
Huh? It's been a while since he called in.
Oh, we know this, Henry?
Yeah.
Are you sure I know this, Henry?
No, you don't know this, Henry. I know this, Henry.
Oh.
I know this, Henry.
Henry.
I know this, Henry. Long time. He used to be my boss. He used to get me out of trouble. And just as he got me out of trouble, I got into more trouble.
That seems to be a pattern with you, Phil.
I know. Okay. Your friend Scotty Groh is looking for a Dyna or Road King complete wiring harness for sale.
Whose friend?
I might see him too this weekend. I'm not sure yet.
Remember what
I'm off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I've been working every day since Thanksgiving.
Just
okay.
Get out the paper.
And you're
paper.
Crying about it?
No, I'm not crying about it. I'm like kind of glad I got 3 days off.
So what are you gonna do with 3 days? Oh,
never.
That means you. And your wife have to go out and do something nice.
He's going to get a lot of autographs for me.
And for me. If not, we're going to... I know people.
Yeah, I know you know people, but if you knew people real well, they'd help you out with those problems you have.
Yeah, well, obviously, there's a certain side to that, you know. That's called not their business, but they want to be in my business. Does that make sense?
Yep,
yeah.
It's called Facebook drama.
Yep.
As
but, you know.
Facebook turns. People are just whacked.
That's why I don't pay much attention to it. I get on, I play my games, I show offline, because
well,
you know
what? Henry says, if I wanted him to call in, I'd have to pay him.
Pay him what? He's going to be graced with all four of us. That's
put,
not enough. He should
put,
be so
he
lucky.
He put dollar signs up.
He should be
well,
so
you
lucky.
You know what? We don't get paid.
Oh. Yeah, really.
We don't get paid. We're just here because we enjoy razzing you.
Phil, tell him you'll send him a CD.
Yeah.
Hey, I got news for you. When I tell that guy he's getting a CD, he gets a CD. You know why? He's about a foot taller than me and outweighs me by 100 pounds.
Oh, okay.
Dude,
Wait a minute. Now, wait, he just clarified something. See, we're too short, and we're not men, so men get it before we do.
Dude, you know how many men I've knocked down? Close-fisted punch.
Yeah, you know how many I grabbed at the collar of the shirt and broke all 10 of my nails because I've done the same thing?
Mm-mm.
I don't care.
Height and width have nothing to do with how hard you can pack a punch. I've seen some of the biggest guys off there.
Exactly. So come on, shorty. Bring it
on. I got
on,
you, shorty.
Stacy and I are waiting.
Oh, you got a shorty.
I got you, shorty.
Hey.
Hang out.
Oh, my God.
A lot of the shorties can do, well, I ain't going there. Forget that.
Henry's wife says this show is so entertaining.
I'm glad she likes it.
You know, Henry has a wife, and he's talking about Rihanna? Shame.
Sheesh. Oh, God, all guys do it.
Okay. Now you're gonna get Henry in trouble now.
You know, I sat there and I posted up a photo of it's supposed to be, it was a while back, of a man being friends with a woman. She was like in her bikini in the pool, you know, and the caption was, you know, something to the effect of like, you know, we're just friends. I won't look at her boobs. You know, come on. Guys are guys. You know, that's just how it is. They're going to look. It doesn't matter if they're married or not.
He also said to tell you he's not dead.
Exactly. Thank you.
Wow, but he's married. Got to have respect
there. So what?
Yeah, but if you're married, that's a little bit different, you know? I believe...
Wait. He's not looking to get laid. He's just looking because you can. I mean...
Huh? Says, yep, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, it's normal, you know. I mean, I respect it. If I was with someone, no, I wouldn't look because that's just the respect I show to who I'm with. But not having someone, oh, fuck yeah, I'm going to be looking. I don't give a fuck. You know,
oh,
I mean, come on.
Me being single and shit, I'm always looking, and sometimes my mouth speaks too freely. But,
you know. There's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I look at it this way. At least you put the cards out on the table and they can make up their own mind.
Oh, I don't know. My best bet is, like my friends always tell me, just keep my mouth shut and keep on walking. Because
I
get
I don't
into
know.
This shit.
You know, I don't have any problem telling someone, like, if I'm not interested in the person or something like that, and if they make a certain type of comment to me, I'll look them smack in the face and say, do you think I want to fuck you? Do you think I want to date you? No. you know. Dude. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, I'm just out there. I don't care. I'd rather put it all out there instead of, you know, doing that little...
I got nothing against short people at all. I'm short, okay? 5 feet tall. And I was talking to this dude one time in the truck, and, like, I was still in my car, he was still in the truck, and we're yep, 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 and back and forth. Well, when he got out of the truck, I laughed so hard I took off because I embarrassed myself. The dude had to be about, 4'2", 4'3", and obviously he was driving a big truck to make up for what was missing. And ever since then, I try to keep my hand over my mouth when engaging conversation with men unless my friends are with me because I find too much trouble and that's it. So... that's the way it rolls.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said.
He says, damn it, you two are straight up.
Well, yeah, that's the only way to be. That's all I've ever known to be.
Straight up, is there a catch 22 behind that straight up, you know?
Oh, my God. Do I
straight
have
up.
Something fun?
Straight up can be taken many ways, dude.
Oh, my God. Do I have,
hey, whatever unit
she's on Facebook.
Is she? Where is she? Eunice. Hello, Eunice. Where are you?
I hope she didn't fall asleep. She did that one night with us.
No, she dropped off.
Oh, okay. Oh, you guys might hear something funny.
Go for it.
You're going to laugh. Okay, I did something that is normally, like, out of my comfort zone, you know what I mean? I did, like, a real asshole at the time that was, like, cheating on me, so I'm like, hey, fuck you, watch me, I'm going to go get me some. And so I did, right? It was, you know, a one-time thing, no big deal. It was a mutual thing. So anyways, now check this out. 4 years later, I get a message from the same guy, and he's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, it was just a fuck. What is the problem? It was 4 years ago, you know, and he's like, well, I thought we could hook up. I'm like, it was just a fuck. What's the problem?
All right. I share. One of my friends is going to be very mad at me, but I don't think they listen to the show, so it's okay. one of my friends, okay. Now we back in our heyday when we went dancing and stuff, we did some hardcore drinking. We were like a bunch of derelicts, I guess.
Right.
And she had hooked up with some dude, and the next day we all get together and we go to this little bar down by the water for our Bloody Marys for our hangovers, you know.
Right.
She's sitting there and she's like, for the life of me, I can't remember his name. I can remember him kind of. She's like, I can't even remember if the sex felt good or not. She's like, but I don't know his name. So we all got a good laugh out of it. Wait, it gets better. Now, a couple of months go by and we go to the dance place that we usually go to. And this dude just comes running up to her, gives her a hug. Hey, how are you? Blah, 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 blah. And she's like, do I know you? And he's like, do you know me? And she's like, yeah, I don't know who you are. And he's like, oh, but you do. And, like, they got into, like, a little bit of a personal conversation where our ears weren't listening. And she came running back over to the table, and she said, his name is Greg. And that's the dude I slept with.
My God.
I spit out my drink, okay? I was like, holy shit, yeah. Needless to say, guess who she went home with that night?
Him?
Yeah, and as she was walking out the door, we all told her, his name is Greg. So...
Well, you know, the funny thing is, this guy was like, well, are you single? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, then we need to hook up. And I'm like, what do you mean we need to hook up? It was just a fuck. It was a mutual thing, you know. And I'm like, that was 4 years ago. And you find me 4 years later and think you're going to get in my pants. And then at first I stepped back and I thought, wow, it's been a while. But I thought, oh, hell no, I ain't going there.
Oh, what's that? What's Henry saying now?
He says, how you like the show last night? He's talking about the Devil's Ring.
I don't watch that show.
He says, hey, he's a Marine. Well, Henry, he was a Marine for 12 years till he got caught molesting his niece, and that's why he was no longer a Marine. But the his traits didn't stray far from the house. And the reason he got ousted from the club was because he was having prospects bring him chicks to one guy's apartment so they could all get lucky.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry.
That's all the story. I got a whole bunch of shit on that fucking guy. We ought to just go, if you're not working Saturday. Yeah, what were you doing working last Saturday?
Who?
Henry. Henry never worked. Henry never worked.
Is he on the phone with us?
No,
he's in the chat room.
Oh. Are you in the chat, Stacey?
No, ma'am. I'm never in chat. I'm always up in my room.
The last time I tried getting in, it was a pain in the ass, so I don't go in there anymore. It was easier before, and now it's like really it's a pain in the balls.
Yeah, like the last time I was actually in chat, I just sat there idle because I couldn't keep conversation going on the air plus trying to type. I'm not talented like Phil and able to multitask.
Well, no, I can do the same thing, but, you know, last time I was in the chat with Phil and I, we were slinging smiley faces back and forth. I'm like, this is crazy. There was nobody in the chat. I'm like, what the hell?
I'm wondering what's next.
It was just easier to sign out.
I'm wondering what the next social network's going to be. It was MySpace, Facebook. I'm wondering, you know, who's going to develop something else. I saw the craziest thing on TV. It was a commercial for a single site for farmers. I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I saw that, and I'm like, ooh, they're going to hook up the rednecks.
I was
the cousins.
I just was, like, stuck on stupid. I'm like, okay, first you got the Christian Mingle stuff, and then you've got
those guys are like crazy ass.
And now you got the farmers hooking up with the farmers. I'm like, what the hell is next? Shit.
I know.
No, thank you.
Nuts.
I'll do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, it's called just look outside, and there will be someone.
There's too much bullshit online, man. You can be anybody you want to be. Yo, I'm Spider-Man. You know, I shoot webs and I have a cape and I fly around. You know?
Hey, wait. Now you just blew my cover. Now I can't make a page and say I'm Catwoman.
See that? That's why I don't, you know, hey, God bless all the relationships that have started online. I wish you nothing but the best, but, you know.
Some good, from what I understand, have come out of stuff like that. But, you know, you have no idea who the fuck is on the other side of that computer. No idea.
Yep. That's for sure. And then you get all trapped up in somebody's crazy, loony craziness.
Bullshit.
And then
you know, you can be stuck, not even meeting the assholes. I've had that shit. I'm like, what the fuck, weirdos?
And the world nowadays, it ain't a safe world. People be crazy wanting to meet up with people that live clear across the country and tell them, I love you. I need you. I want to know.
Oh, wait a minute. Does that remind you of a fucking asshole that we saw?
It reminds me of the shit that lives in Maryland, but that's besides the point.
And the one that lives out in Cali. There you go.
Yep, exactly.
Two different coasts. Same assholes.
Yep. Phil, where'd you go, man?
I'm here.
He's just listening to us.
Well,
we're taking over the show. Oh, did you hear in Chicago they closed 53 schools?
Yeah, what's up with that? Where are you going to put all them kids?
I don't know. It's all messed up. You know, they're trying to save money, and they don't want to have teachers deal with 30 students per class, but yet they don't realize these kids now are going to be in more danger having to go in the worst part of the city through the neighborhoods. You know, it's...
Hey, Henry's got a question for you guys.
Huh?
Henry's got a question for you guys.
Okay, shoot.
Do you ever ride on a bike?
On
the
back.
I have. Yeah, on the bike. Or on the back. Yeah, that's fine.
I'm hoping at some point this year to own my own. But why? Why does he want to know this?
You just asked the question.
And we don't ride with, well, at least I don't ride with a damn sissy bond either, so.
Ride with the what?
I never liked the bitch bar.
The goddamn thing that goes across your friggin' back.
The bitch bar.
Well, yeah, over here we call them sissy bars. You either,
here we call them the bitch bar.
Yeah, you either know how to ride or you don't, and that's pretty much it.
Exactly. I used to ride on the back of one back in the day.
I'm gonna take a trip out to California, and I'm going to buy my bike off of Bill. Watch and see.
Yeah, and you're going to stop here first and then go to California.
I'll get
you set up the street so that way your allergies don't kick in the ass.
I was about to say, you better put all the cats in the basement.
That's okay. I have a basement. I can put them all there.
There you go. As long as they ain't around me, I'm cool.
What? Huh?
He's having a conversation with somebody, Nora.
Yeah, my son's standing here.
Oh, how old is your son? So cute.
Say what now?
I said, how old is your son?
24.
Oh, shit, is he tall and sexy?
Okay, Cougar, back in the cage.
I'm thinking little boy, you know, like my son. You know, I'm not thinking full-grown man. Shoot.
No, Phil doesn't have any young kids. He's like me. Our kids are grown.
Well, you never know. You know, I don't knock anybody and, you know, stuff.
Oh,
happens.
My God. I had this 23-year-old send me a message asking me if I was a cougar. I'm like, you fucking jack off. Go to somebody's house. I ain't no cougar.
A cougar? Isn't that a car?
A cougar is somebody my age looking for guys his age.
Oh.
No, when my son was here, he was so pissed when one of his buddies hit at me.
We just call that desperation, not cougars.
No, there are women that like that shit. I'm sorry, you know, I've got kids, and, you know, in that age group, it's like, I don't know, they ain't even fucking grown up in their mind to even communicate with, you know.
Hey, I got news for you.
What?
When I was... You guys, I've been trying to get coordinated with Paul, my friend in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you guys wanted to know some stories.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, Dick, I can
dirt.
Tell you from the time I was 18 till the time I was 20, yeah, about 20. I didn't go out with any women that were under 30 years old.
No, I'm not meaning anything bad. There are a lot of young kids that like older women.
Wait. From 18 to 20 years old, that's just 2 years. So in two years...
No, 80 to 30. Or 18 to 30, I mean. He didn't date anybody under the age of 30.
I thought he said from 18 to 20.
No, 18 to 30.
No, I said 18. My 18 to 20 years of age, all the women I dated were in their 30s.
So I was right. In the 2-year time span from 18 to 20.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you
but
were
there's
just
nothing
trying to
wrong with that.
No,
you know,
but he,
a lot of guys most, like that because we know what we want. The unfortunate thing is I'm a mom. My son is 29 years old. There's no way in hell I would ever look at a 29-year-old and want to fuck him.
Well,
you know, because well, to me, in my mind, that's just wrong. It's like you're my kid's age. You know, that's just gross. Ew.
Phil was just trying to look like the stud muffin on the block at 18 years old.
But see, now, like with me, when I was younger, I always liked the older guys because they had their shit together.
In
you
the
know?
Summer, in
hey,
the summer, the summer, I drove a Buick convertible. In the
nice.
Winter, I drove either my Corvette or a 70 Ford ranch wagon with a good heater.
And from 18 to 20, if anybody ever said to mama, you turned around and said, yeah, she might be next.
Well, I don't know. My mom didn't like it too much.
Parents don't. Like, the Christ. I would have been like, damn.
I mean, my son's 29 years old. He dates older women. You know, and not like maybe like up to Stacy's age, okay? not up to
Stay
mine.
Stay, nothing wrong with my age.
So you
understand? No, I wasn't meaning it like that. I just meant he likes older women. He's never dated one that's my age, but like Stacy's age, he has.
The reason why dudes go after older women is this, because they're not all crazy and hell-bent on doing this, that, and the other. They got their minds going in the right direction. And there's no facade. There's no head game.
Exactly. There's no games, you know.
But
girls play games. Women don't. Well, like I said, girls play games. Women don't. You know, but no, we have to really put that in half because well, there are some older women that they act like they're 10, you know, and they treat guys like shit, and they get guys like you, like nobody's business. And then there's women like you and I, Stacy, where, you know, it's like it's hard for us, you know, because they look at us like, well, you're too set, you know, you're too settled. Okay, well, maybe we don't like the bars. Maybe we don't want to do that. What the fuck is the problem? You know,
due to that, I don't want
we've
a
been
man.
There.
I don't want anything to do with them. I'm good. I want to be single. I don't want to have to answer to nobody, nothing, no one except my lawyer. That's about it. The days of me being all settled down and taking orders from a man, nah, that's done. That's a dead issue. I just want to be able to come and go as I please and not answer to a goddamn soul. And if that means me being
see
single
me taking
for the rest
orders.
Of my life, what?
What do you mean taking orders?
Oh, dude,
there's
long
a lot
term.
Of men out there that do that.
Well, the
so,
another radio
that you're not
show.
Aware of.
Hey, is Dr. Ruth still alive?
Yeah.
I think we should get her on the show one night.
You know, did you know she was a sniper in the Israeli army when she was younger?
Yes.
That's cool.
That's
that
a
works.
Wicked little woman, I'm telling you. She is cool as hell.
I'm telling you, sir, you should send her an invite to call in the show.
I'll let you handle
it. You'll let me handle it. It would be a cool evening, though. Think about it for a minute. You know?
That's why I said I'll let you handle it.
I don't know anything about PI stuff. Shoot, I'm just a simple person.
Yeah, but you know, the sad thing is sometimes when we've done the radio show, like when Phil and I have done the radio show and Alicia has come on the show with us, you know, sometimes people in the chat got annoyed. It's like, you know, because it was cool. We would go to her show, we'd talk on there, she'd come to Phil's show, you know, and we'd talk with her. And, you know, some people were just like, is this all you guys talk about? You know, and it's like, it's porn. What the hell? You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
they need to piss off because, you know, like Phil says, there's no, what, 7-second delay. We're talking live. We're talking
right.
open. We're talking free. And if people don't like what we're talking about, well, you know, I feel bad for them that they're such prudes. You know, they're the people that walk around looking like they smelt a bad fart all day, you know?
Exactly.
That's what it is.
There you go. This is for them.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck.
Fuck.
Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word. Just by its sound can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning is not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as, John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And, as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck. As in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot. Dismay, aw, fuck it. Trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now. Aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy. Difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question. Inquiry, who the fuck was that? Dissatisfaction, I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence, he's a fuck off. Dismissal, why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you.
There you go.
That's too funny.
That's a wonderful word. Fan-fucking-tastic.
So, is Bill going to be with us on Thursday?
Yes.
Awesome.
So, I figured what I'll do is go down to the last couple of minutes. Let me see. There we go. I'm going to let Axel Rudy Pell take us out with a little Forever Angel.
Good night. Good night, Henry.
Good night.
See you guys Thursday.
Okay.
Later.